Hey, everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. I hope you had a good week, and let's just jump right in. Today, we're going to pick back up in Philippians. We did like 4 or 5 episodes on Philippians chapter 1, and so now we're going to jump into chapter 2. And as we jump into chapter 2, what I really want to talk about is unity. Unity within Christ, what Christian unity looks like, and what that really means to be united. So as we think about this, I want to kind of, just give you a little visualization. And so I think you know that I do that. But early in the United States, the 13 colonies had decided that they were going to resist England. And at that time, during the discussion at the Continental Congress, Benjamin Franklin addressed everyone. And he said this. He said, "We must all hang together, or assuredly we will hang separately." So he's telling the leaders of the 13 colonies that they have to be united, that it required unity. If they wanted to be successful, they had to be in it together, no matter what, even to death. Because without unity, the colonies certainly would not, they wouldn't have been successful in fighting for the independence, and they still would have died. So what we should be fighting for today is a little bit different than that. But as Christians, what we should be fighting for demands even more unity. It demands even more unity than they had when they resisted England. We must present a united front against the presence of evil in this world, because our only chance is with Jesus. We can't do it alone. No matter how hard we try, we have to have Jesus Christ. If you've listened to some of my other podcasts, you may have heard me mention that there was this new Gallup poll put out in March of 21 that said for the first time in history, membership of the church in the United States had declined below 50%, and it was sitting at 47%. Now, I personally believe that lack of unity within the church is one of the factors that contribute to this number. And so we're going to start chapter 2, and we're going to see some potential problems in the church where there was this threat of not being unified. And as much joy as they had in Christ, as much love as they showed for Paul, there are indications that there's this tiny threat before them. This tiny threat that could cause a problem because they're not united. So Paul's plea for unity in this first part, it's a plea that we should take to heart today as well. And so I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others." So as we start this chapter, we're going to have to do just a very little bit of review from chapter 1. Because Paul starts this with "therefore." That's kind of like a key word. It says "therefore," which is saying, hey, because of what I said before, here's what I need you to do, right? Now, I'm not going to read the entire section, but that "therefore" references back to Philippians 1, 27 through 30. And in that, Paul is teaching us to live a life worthy of the gospel, that how we conduct ourselves is important regardless of what happens. He's saying, "Therefore, since such is your duty and privilege, fulfill my joy, show yourselves to be true citizens of God by your humility and unity of spirit." So as we move on into chapter 2, these first 4 verses show us what is possibly the strongest appeal for unity in the church today. The problem is, I don't know that they're taken as seriously as they should be. That's my opinion. And if you just look at them in detail, you're going to see that in verse 1, Paul has given us four reasons for unity. Those four reasons are love, sharing the Spirit, tenderness, compassion. And in verse 2, we get to see four ways to describe it. You know, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, being one in mind. And then in verse 3, we get two negatives to avoid. And those negatives are we need to avoid self-ambition, and we need to avoid vain conceit. And then we also, in verse 3, get two positive things to follow. He says we need to have humility and we need to consider others above ourselves. And then we end up with verse 4 where we get a negative and a positive, right? It says don't look at your own interests and instead look at the interests of others. So, you know, if we look at these four verses, we can start to see some of the causes for that lack of unity or that potential lack of unity in the church. We'll start with the two negatives I mentioned, right? The first was self-ambition. Often believers allow this selfish ambition really to rule their lives. And this in turn, it causes disunity in the Christian fellowship. I think it's important to understand what it means to have a selfish ambition. And so in the simplest terms that I understand it to be, based on my research, is to motivate it's the motivation to elevate yourself or to put your interest above somebody else's. It's that kind of self above others approach to life, self first. And then, you know, if you've listened to me, I think I've talked about it in the first chapter, probably around Christian behavior or something. You've heard me say that I would have done anything to advance my professional life. You probably heard me say I left a bunch of dead bodies in my path, right? Not literally, but you know, I just stepped over everyone to get where I needed to go because that was what was modeled for me. And so that's exactly what Paul is telling us not to do, that we are not to have selfish ambition like that. And then the second thing he tells us, that second negative, is vain conceit, which means empty glory, right? That's probably the reason for selfish ambition in the first place. And as Christians, we need to seek to focus our attention on God. We need to focus on God and Christ and not focus on ourselves. You see, we have such a desire for prestige sometimes. Some people do, I should say, that we try to lord it over other people. So I use that term lord over for a reason. You know, it means to assert arrogant superiority over somebody else because of or in relation to some advantage or achievement you believe you have. This causes disunity because you're behaving in a way that you tell other people you're more important than they are. And if you say you're more important than me, I'm probably not going to be united with you. I really want you to think back to like a time, you know, some people that you've met at work. And then I want you to think like, can you see people that acted like this, that lorded over others? Can you remember how it made you feel? I certainly do. I know that I'm probably one of those people at one stage in my career. I'm kind of ashamed of it, to be honest with you. But now I want you to think about people you've met in church. Have any of them acted this way? Have you ever left a church because of those people? I know that I have felt that way, and I have left churches because of those people, because they acted like they were more important than anyone else, and the church leadership did nothing about it. They felt like they had a right to lord over everyone to get their way or get what they want. That will cause disunity in the church and in fellowship faster than anything. So once we understand that we should not have selfish ambition or vain conceit, we can look at what Jesus has showed us how to serve selflessly without striving for personal gain, without trying to climb the ladder of success. We have to follow his example. And to do anything other than follow Christ's example will cause us to not be united. All right, so I rambled a little bit about unity or being having disunity. I want to talk about some of the cures. Right? In Philippians 2:1, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. As we analyze the phrase in this verse, that cure for the lack of unity, it should be apparent to everyone. We also need to recognize some of the words that I think we often overlook. You know, in this verse, it uses the word if 4 times. If you have encouragement, if any comfort, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness. 4 times the word if. Paul writes here about the realities, not questionable things. He's relating back to when he says if, he's relating back to that word therefore, right? Because of what I told you, if you have any encouragement, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of Spirit. Paul is appealing for unity. He's using these 4 things to appeal for it, right? Encouragement in Christ. This is the first is the encouragement. The first cure we receive is from Christ himself. As the good shepherd and as our constant guide in life, he gives us an encouragement to be unified, to have unity. And then the second one is incentive of love. For Christians, we should have been taught to love one another. The incentive of love helps us to overcome not being unified. Love stands as the greatest of all incentives for overcoming these small, insignificant things in life that divide us. The third thing is fellowship of the Spirit. You know, we live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit as individuals and with other Spirit-filled believers. If we maintain this kind of fellowship, there's no way we can have disunity. There's no way we can not be unified. And then there's tenderness and compassion, right? As we show our love toward one another and seek to bear one another's burdens, any lack of unity can be bridged. The relationships we have with one another work for unity, not against it. You know, I've mentioned before that I'm a member of Bikers for Christ Motorcycle Ministry. And where I live in Tennessee, there are numerous other Christian motorcycle clubs and Christian motorcycle ministries. You know, we have CMA, which is Christian Motorcycle Association. We have Bikers for Christ. We have Sons of God, Tribe of Judah, Soldiers for Jesus, Covenant Confirmers, Redemption Riders. We even have a new one starting called Forged Brotherhood. And I'm sure there's some that I've missed. We have biker churches that do great things as well, right? We have Journey Biker Church. We have Soul Revival Biker Church. But the reason I mention this is that we are united as Christians. It doesn't matter what patch we have on our backs. We all serve the same God. We do things together and support each other. I mean, here we even have an annual Christian Unity Conference for us where we get together and meet, we fellowship, we have lunch, we talk about what we have coming up for the next year. We talk about how can we be more united for the motorcycle community. You know, it would be easy for us as Bikers for Christ to do some of the things that other people do, right? CMA does amazing things. Tribe of Judah, amazing things, right? Covenant Confirmer, Soldier for Jesus, Sons of God, Redemption Riders, they all do great things. But if I did the same things they did, that would take away from the ministry. That would say we are not united in Christ, that we are competing. And competing with other ministries is not unity. It is more powerful for us to go to each other's events and support each other because we all have the same goal. We all serve the same God. And so we all support each other. If Tribe of Judah is doing a Clubhouse Sunday, we're going to go to it. If CMA is doing a Biker Sunday or a Run for the Sun thing or a bike blessing, we're going to go support them. The same goes for Soldiers for Jesus or Redemption Riders or Sons of God or Covenant Confirmers. And I'm sure at some point Forge Brotherhood. But we go and support them just like they come and support us. We do this together because we're united. And I would challenge people that regardless of what denomination you're part of, what translation of the Bible you read, we all serve the same God. We should be united, all of us. I hope that this message, will reach you in a way that it needs to, that you'll consider what it really means to be a united Christian and fellowship with other Christians, regardless of denomination or translation of the Bible, regardless of what patch they may have if you ride with a ministry or a club. But just be united. Just love everyone, right? Follow what Christ taught us. Look, I know you have tons of podcasts you can listen to. I appreciate that you've listened to this one. If you got questions, shoot me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Otherwise, I want you to have a blessed week, and I wish you all the best. Thanks.